New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon, in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.
Blimey, Manchester United have wasted absolutely zero time in making their move. Ruben Amorim is going to be Manchester United's new head coach. By the looks of it, Sporting have effectively communicated that Manchester United are going to pay the release clause to get him out of his contract. And as I record this, it's about 4:30 UK time on the day after it was made clear that Manchester United wanted Ruben Amorim to replace Erik ten Hag, who was sacked literally about, how long ago was that? I'm really bad at maths, 30 hours ago or something like that. They've wasted no time at all, and it looks like Manchester United have moved incredibly quickly to clear up the manager situation or the head coach situation. I think the semantics here are quite important, but it looks like Ruben Amorim is going to be Manchester United's next head coach. Big moves. This is a move fast. Obviously, lots of reporting going on around this. I came to you on Monday morning having learned of the news that they decided to sack Erik ten Hag after the 2-1 defeat to West Ham. And I don't think any of us really could have anticipated that it would move this quickly. And I think, first of all, I think Ineos have, or the decision makers at Manchester United, whether there's been discussions going on in the background while Erik ten Hag was in charge or not, they have done this very, very swiftly and very, very quickly, and they have not been made to look like mugs in the sense of they've gone after their top managerial candidate and they have effectively lured him out. And he's one of the young, promising, most talented coaches in European football at the moment. And I will talk through my initial thoughts, obviously, on Ruben Amorim coming to Manchester United in this episode. Obviously, there will be time later this week to go into a little bit more depth when things are made official. But yeah, this is the Promised Land podcast. I'm Scott Saunders, the host of it, talking all things Manchester United. Please follow the channel on Apple and Spotify and subscribe to the podcast. Every little helps. Give us a 5-star rating if you would like to do so. Subscribe on YouTube as well, the Promised Land of Manchester United podcast. And drop a comment. How are you feeling? Because I think we have had several months or a year plus of often feeling a little bit miserable with how Manchester United are performing. And there have been moments, like smaller moments, few and far between, of joy. The cup final wins, obviously, the big wins in certain matches. But I think the norm has been since the League Cup final win in 2023 that performances have not been very good. And there's been a lot of, I spoke on the podcast yesterday about there being a resignation and a detachment from the team. I think that has already gone. And I think what Ineos have done here is been proactive, and they have, whatever you believe about whether Ten Hag should have gone in the summer or not, they have made the decision. They have made the decision official and communicated it, and they have wasted no time at all in making the replacement and bringing a replacement in. So, I'll run through that, but give me a follow as well at @_ScottSaunders on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter as well, which is where I've been doing most of my ramblings since this all came about. But yes, look, some initial thoughts today. I'm not going to be with you for too long because I do have a mate at work who has some leaving drinks, and I am trying to fit this in just before I go out and upload it. But I don't know if you'll notice here, but I'm wearing a training t-shirt, and it's exactly the same color. If you're watching on YouTube, you know this, by the way. It's exactly the same color as the wall behind me, and I kind of just look like a floating face and floating arms. So if you're listening to the audio version of this, you won't be able to see that, but whatever. But yeah, obviously, this has come together hastily. I didn't anticipate that I'd be doing this now, because I didn't anticipate that this would move so fast. But Ruben Amorim, then. So look, I think first thing to say here is, and I am running without a script here, by the way, so I'll do my very best and to compile my thoughts together and make this as structured as possible. But first off, Ruben Amorim he wasn't my first choice, I will say that. And I think I would have put Julian Nagelsmann as the top. And I said this yesterday, my first thought when Ten Hag had left, go and try Julian Nagelsmann again. But obviously in a German national team job, he's going to be really, really distinctly difficult to get out of that job. And Ruben Amorim was always linked to big jobs. He's been linked with Liverpool. He's been linked with Manchester City in recent weeks as well. Was always one of the names that big clubs should be looking at, the big clubs are looking at. And if Manchester United have stolen the march on Manchester City here, then they're probably doing something right. And I think there's a lot of hype around this guy. He's very respected. He's only 39 years old, which is just a few years older than me, which is quite depressing. But he has landed one of club football's biggest jobs. And I referred to it today, probably the most difficult job in football at the moment because of how long United have been failing for. It's been 11 years now. United have cycled through managers, and it's obviously a poison chalice. And whether you're a manager or a player coming into this club, we've had talented players join this club. We've had really high profile managers who've succeeded elsewhere come into this club, and mostly everybody has failed. And that to me points to a cultural issue that needs to be fixed. But the important thing here is that there is now a team in place with Ineos and with the sporting director and with the chief executive. There is a team in place to make sure that this football club runs like a football club, a modern football club. And I think the language and the semantics, and I'm sure whenever he gets announced, Ruben Amorim will be announced as Manchester United head coach, which is a very, very important distinction. And one I try to get across on social media just a few hours ago. I think the Man United manager's job has just been such a big challenge for everybody who's taken that job over the last few years. It's chewed up talent and it spat them out. And the time is now for me where that trend has to finish. That trend has to end. And Erik ten Hag, who was the final hire of the Richard Arnold, Ed Woodward, John Murta era between David Gill and Sir Alex Ferguson going and Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos taking control of this place. You know, that was a disastrous 11-year period. And I think as much as I wanted Erik ten Hag to have every chance that he could to prove that he could do it, I think Ineos gave him enough time. And to be honest, I'm not in the camp of sack him in the summer, because I said after the cup final that I wanted to see what he could do with no injuries and with a new structure in front of him or above him supporting him. And it turns out that it hasn't worked out. And look, at the end of the day, we can reflect on whether that was the right decision or the wrong decision, but what's done is done. And Ten Hag has ended up failing anyway. I think there's a bunch of things that he has done, which I think have been positive and laid the groundwork for the future for United, which maybe I'll talk about on a future episode. But what United are now is they have moved from the old broken structure into a new modern structure with a lot of really strong football people in place. You've seen it in how they act. You've seen how swift they are. You've seen how decisive they are. When they make decisions, that is the decision, and they will push it through, and they will make sure that it's done swiftly. And this is another example. I think the signings throughout the summer that were done by Dan Ashworth and that team were done a lot differently. And I think while there was a lot of noise around Ten Hag over the summer and in the early weeks of the season, now that the change has been made, the change has been made very, very swiftly and very, very quickly and really professionally as well. I think they've sounded out their target. They have notified him that they want him. There's willingness on the other side, convinced by the project, and that didn't take too long to make sure that he wanted to come in. And obviously now I'm recording this, the prompt to record this was just after the Sporting SEC filing, which confirmed that United had been paying or had indicated that they would to pay a 10 million euro release clause to get Amorim out of his contract. So look, I think that's the first thing I'll say. Ineos have been really swift with this. And I'm using the word swift a lot, but I'm really taken aback by it all, I've got to say. It's professionally done. I'll say that. And as much noise as has gone on over the last few weeks, the decision is now made. It looks like Amorim, I'm presuming here, is going to take the game that Sporting have later on Tuesday night against Nacional in the Portuguese Cup. I would imagine, anticipate that he will say his goodbyes after that game and then fly to England. This is what I'm presuming. And the hope is that he'll be in place for the Chelsea game on Sunday. And United can move on with the new era. They've obviously lost nine games in this season with really poor results in the Premier League on the whole. And Amorim will start. Ideally, I'm sure he'd like to have started at the start of the season, but this is the case and there is a job to do now. And the first port of call for Amorim will be to turn results around and to make performances improve. And look, I think this water under the bridge now, and this is done and we can finally stop looking back and like being embroiled in misery, because that's where it got towards the end. For a lot of us and for most of us, results, performances, as I touched on the pod yesterday, you just knew what you were going to get every single time. And like that has now come to an end and it's time for a fresh start. It's time for the new era to actually kick in. And obviously there are tons of feelings in the sense of, oh, is this going to be like everyone before? And yeah, there's always going to be that kind of nervousness, I suppose, or if you're a fan of another club, then they'll point at this and look at this group of players as being like just a broken team full of not very good players. Look, I don't think that's the case at all. I really don't think that's the case at all. There's been some differences between Ten Hag sacking and previous sackings that I've noticed in the past just by watching the team on the pitch. And I think that gives me a little bit of confidence that things can turn around a bit quicker than they usually do. And for a more sustained period, because you usually do get that new manager bounce with United and then it drops off when something happens. But Ineos are making sure that they've got their guy in and it's on him from the very beginning. There's no extended caretaker period. There's no dilly-dallying. They have made this decision and now they have got their guy and they're going to go with him. So really positive. But yes, let's talk about Ruben Amorim himself then. He is, as I mentioned just now, one of Europe's most talented young coaches. Sporting, he's been there for a few years and he's won a couple of league titles. And obviously he has on top of the league this season, nine games in the league, nine wins. I believe it's 28 goals scored and two conceded with, you know, that's as good as it gets, really. I know this is a second tier league in the sense of, you know, he's not done it in the very top tier, but he was the next big head coach or big manager to take the plunge into a big job alongside Xabi Alonso, maybe. And Xabi Alonso, I think, is in line for the Real Madrid job at some point. Maybe Man City come calling because, you know, I think United have stolen in on the guy that they saw as being the successor to Pep Guardiola if he's to leave in the summer. But United have identified Ruben Amorim and taken him and installed him.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Really, really swiftly, and they've stolen the march on. I mentioned they've stolen the march on City, and I do believe they have, in a sense, because that seemed to me, I even said it on a podcast like a week or so ago, that I anticipate that's the next place that Amorim will go if Pep is to leave. But United have pulled the trigger on this, and I think they've pulled off a real coup here. He is really modern, forward-thinking, tactical coach who really emphasizes, his big emphasis on possession, defensive solidity. And look, he's managed to get Victor Gyökeres, who was playing for Coventry, firing into being one of Europe's leading strikers. And I know he was scoring goals at Coventry in the past, and this is a good player. But he has proven that he can get players working in a team and firing and succeeding. And I think that is the first port of call for this guy. He will come in and won't have much time to get his feet under the table and get his tactical ideas across. But he does have the relative fortune of having like an intense period of matches coming up until the next international break, where he'd be able to work with the team pretty closely and see them on the training pitch and like drill in his tactical ideas. And like I say, a relatively fortunate run of fixtures. I know United play Chelsea on Sunday, which is a difficult one. But then you look at the matches coming up after that, and there's a run of matches there where you can probably start to build up a head of steam and build the confidence before they visit Arsenal early December. United do, so that might be his first big away test. But look, this is a coach that was wanted by a lot of clubs. He's been He was talking to Liverpool. He interviewed for the West Ham job, which he ended up saying he regretted in the summer, which is an interesting case. I think maybe I had cold feet on that one. But I think, look, if it wasn't United, then Ruben Amorim would have been snapped up by another one of the big clubs in the next year. And I think that would be the case. And it's the right thing. I think in terms of the options that were available and out there to me, I think Ruben Amorim was probably United's best pick and probably the best pick that they could have made. So it's a good feeling all round, I'll say. But let me know your thoughts in the comment section. If you're watching this, are you excited to see Ruben Amorim's United? He's going to bring something different, I'm sure. Going to bring something different, even in terms of the system he's going to use. He's going to bring something different, and he will be expected from the very beginning to imprint his patterns of play and his philosophy on this team, because that is one thing that a lot of people criticised Erik ten Hag for during the course of his reign as Manchester United manager. So Ruben Amorim, I'm sure most of you have already done this and looked into what type of coach he is, what he likes to do. It's very much, can we expect a back three at United? Can we expect wing backs? Can we expect two wider forwards who play more narrow? And can we expect more goals out of the central striker? Can we expect Manuel Ugarte to come straight into the team after? I really think that the two Manchester clubs seem to have liked what Sporting Lisbon have been doing over the last few years. Obviously, Man City have taken Hugo Viana as sporting director for the start of next season after Tiki Pagerstein is going to leave. And that's what led to the links for Amorim to become City's next head coach. But obviously United have looked at Manuel Ugarte and his time at Sporting and pulled the trigger on a big deal for him and signed him in the summer. And now they've gone back to Sporting, even though they didn't sign Ugarte directly from Sporting. It was from PSG, but they looked at his Sporting metrics and his Sporting statistics and thought, this guy can do a job in our team. Now they've gone and employed the head coach who got the best out of Manuel Ugarte in that team just a couple of years ago. So they must be doing something right, Sporting. And, you know, I think United are looking at the way things have been done over there, and they thought, oh, we fancy a bit of that, because it's, you know, they've had a lot of success coming from Sporting before. Obviously, you know, all the comparisons I can make, Bruno Fernandes, Nani, Cristiano Ronaldo, and now there's a head coach coming in who hopefully can continue on the same vein. But look, it's Amorim is, I'll need a bit more time to put in a proper in-depth analysis on what he's going to do. And look, we're just going to need to see what he's going to do on the pitch as well. You can look at past matches all you want from other clubs and think that's exactly what he's going to do here. But there's going to be a few little differences. But, you know, if he does go with the back three, which I think is pretty likely as it stands, I think this team is pretty suited, actually. There's a lot of players in this team who I think are pretty suited to how Amorim is going to want to line up and going to want to play. So the back three is part of the reason why just a few weeks ago I thought Thomas Tuchel could get a tune out of this team, because we all know he played a back three with Chelsea and took them to Champions League success. And I looked at the state of the squad a few weeks ago and I thought, like, Lisandro Martinez, Matthijs de Ligt, Lenny Yoro, who plays? If you're playing two, who's gonna drop to the bench? Yoro, potentially, because he's the young one? Or is there a way of playing them as a three? And you know how many goals United have been conceding? Put in an extra centre-back and solidify the midfield, and then you've got a base of, like, three players in there, and Manuel Ugarte, who's obviously played in his Sporting team previously and excelled in it, as your kind of ball-winning midfielder. And, like, I think there's a place right next to him for Kobbie Mainoo when he gets back from injury as well. So that, to me, already is a strong, really strong core of five, which you can build your team off if you get them all fit and firing properly. I think all of the players seem to be suited to the position that I think we all anticipate that Amorim's going to play. Obviously, Yoro is known for his speed and his ability to recover and his ability on the ball as well. I anticipate that he'll fit into that right centre-back position, maybe De Ligt in the middle and Martinez on the left. And I think that's really strong balance, really good balance. And if you got a creative midfielder in Kobbie Mainoo, more creative deep-lying midfielder in Kobbie Mainoo, and Manuel Ugarte, as I mentioned, the ball-winning midfielder, I think that is a strong base to build off. And then you've got loads of options moving forward. You've got two striking options. You've got, maybe there's an opportunity for Marcus Rashford to play through the middle. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. Maybe split the strikers. Maybe you play Bruno Fernandes in the 10, or Bruno Fernandes goes out to one of the narrow forward roles. And look, we'll see. I think that's what the exciting thing about this is, that there's loads of possibilities, because look, I'll make this comparison, right? For anybody who is looking at this Manchester United squad at the moment and seeing that they're 14th in the Premier League table and seeing that they finished 8th in the league last season and this squad isn't any good. If you're thinking that, let me just make this comparison. Steven Gerrard had Aston Villa in 17th when he was sacked. There was one game with a caretaker manager and then Unai Emery came in. Unai Emery then took Aston Villa to Champions League places within 18 months. So with largely the same team. So, look, it's a lot of this is, I've maintained this quite often. Like, this squad is not as bad as you are seeing. This squad is not as bad as people are making out. I'm seeing the wholesale changes need to be made by United in the immediate future. They need more signings. They need to go and raid Sporting Lisbon for some more signings. Look, I think the most important thing here is hire a head coach who can get the best out of the players that you've got. That is the first port of call. Because they've spent a lot of money on players who have turned into effectively unmitigated disasters. And the first port of call here should be that there's an uplift in the quality of the team. There's different tactical ideas coming in to get the best out of the players that they've got. And then we see that translate into results and an uplift in the table. And that should be the first port of call. And anything else then, new signings, this kind of thing, should be done in conjunction with the new head coach by the people who are running the transfer operation at the club. And we, as I touched on earlier in the show, that appears to be more swift from their first transfer window. So I'm positive. I will say that there's no guarantee that this is going to be a success, because obviously we've seen Manchester United bring in talented managers, bring in talented players, chew them up and spit them out and make them look worse at the end. Very few people have come out of this Manchester United era with any grace. And that, for me, though, is a cultural problem, which the head coach now should not have to be bothered concentrating on. His job should be getting his tactical ideas across and maximizing the players and the performances that he's got on the pitch. And if there's any cultural issues at all, report back. And that is for Ineos, Dan Ashworth, Omar Berada, Jason Wilcox to deal with. And nobody should be untouchable. It should be a clean slate. Well, they have no option but to have a clean slate here, because it is the end of October and there's a couple of months. But it's a new chance for everybody in this team to stake their claim for a new position and a new level of importance in the team. And positions should be given on merit, and positions should be given on how much understanding they have in the tactical system and how effective they are in that system as well. So, look, it's a really big, surprising turn of events, I gotta say. I'm really surprised by how quickly this has come about, but pleasantly surprised. And I'm sure you are too, but let me know how you're feeling in the comment section on YouTube. The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast, is where you can find us. Please subscribe to the channel if you've not done so already. Follow and subscribe on audio platforms as well, Apple, Spotify, etc., etc. Leave us a 5-star review and leave a comment on there as well if you can. And drop me a follow at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok too. Look, there's so much more for me to say, and I will be back later in the week to break this down even more. But I just wanted to get some initial thoughts to you guys on this appointment, because I think it is a big change. It's a massive change in the way that United are running, and it's a new era. It's maybe come too late for some people, but look, the decision's done now, and that is the way that it's going. And it's time now to just try and enjoy the football again. Let's see. Let's see what Ruben Amorim can bring to this team. Let's see what surprises he brings to this team. Let's hope for improved performances and improved results as well. And like I say, I'll be back in a couple of days' time, or maybe even sooner than that. We'll see. United play Leicester in the League Cup, and Amorim has what looks like his final game in charge of Sporting on Tuesday night, just after I record this. So, look, we'll keep an eye on that. United, as I record this, have not actually announced him officially yet, although the Sporting side of things have confirmed in their SEC filings that it is Manchester United indicating that they're going to pay out his release clause. I will just double check before I leave whether we've had any official confirmation from Manchester United. We have not. Nothing yet that I see. So I will leave it there. But like I say, this is a quick podcast because, look, so much has gone on in the last 48 hours or so that I just felt like I had to bring you another episode. But until next time, enjoy getting swept up in new possibilities, and let's see what happens. We await to see when United confirm this deal being done, but it looks like it is effectively done. And look, Ruben Amorim, new Manchester United head coach, in waiting. This has been Scott from the Promised Land podcast. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, and see you soon.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.